Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Charlie Roumeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks are swept in the season series by the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 here at the United Center. Shots on goal 49-20 in favor of Colorado. I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy now to help me break down this game. And Steve, my big picture thought on this game is this is why the Colorado Avalanche are going to be the prohibitive favorite to win the Stanley Cup going into the playoffs, because they flexed their muscles and at no point did it feel like the Blackhawks tilted the ice in their favor. It felt like it was all Colorado from the start in this game.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, we talked about it a little earlier. A tough situation for the Blackhawks. The second of a back-to-back against the best team in the NHL. They watched the game that the Blackhawks played in Minnesota, the very exciting 2-1 win in Minnesota. But the Blackhawks had to travel home. They got in late, and they had to get ready for this one. And you know, I just look at the I look at the scoring summary for the Colorado Avalanche, and it was the big dogs who came to play. You know, top two lines did all the scoring. Natchez on the number one line, Nelson on the number two line, Nichushkin on the number one line, Kadri on the number two line, and Nathan MacKinnon with three assists. So, you know, when you get your best players playing their best, it's pretty hard to stop. And let's throw in Cale Makar there, because he had a big assist on their first power play goal in that first period to make it 2-0. That all being said, I'll repeat something I talked to John about. Boy, there were opportunities for the Blackhawks, and I just thought they overpassed the puck tonight, especially in the third period, but at times throughout the game. And, you know, when it was 2-0, an opportunity for Frank Nazar to put one in, he put it off the post, and it didn't matter because literally 20 seconds later, we got the Wyatt Kaiser goal. But later on, another power play, and it was Teuvo Teravainen who had an opportunity. I think it was a Tyler Bertuzzi pass.
Yeah, it
that,
was.
That would have tied the game.
Bedard,
it was a Bedard pass. It would have tied the game at two. And, you know, I know that they didn't deserve to be tied at two, but hockey is unfair in that way sometimes. It's unfair sometimes in that way. And it would have maybe changed the complexion of the hockey game, but it didn't. And then early in the third period, couple of bad penalties and the power play strikes. Kadri on the power play again. So two power play goals against the number one penalty killing unit in the NHL. Pretty good show by Colorado.
Yeah, and I actually wrote down earlier too, the Hawks had an opportunity. Andre Burakovsky, with 8:55 left in the first period when it was still a 0-0 game, He had a breakaway. It was basically from like the red line in, and unfortunately he stopped. This poor guy is, it just feels like he is snake bit. He's been snake bitten for several months now. And there was an opportunity that he had in the third period as well that he missed. And I saw him go back to the bench and he slammed the door. Yeah. Like, you can tell that he's really fighting it right now. But if he scores there early in this game, when the first 10 minutes or so, it was all Colorado, man, the entire first period felt like it was all Colorado. But if Burakovsky scores there and the Hawks go up 1-0, I mean, Friday night crowd, Hawks weren't the better team in the first 10 minutes, but they go up 1-0. Felt like that would have been a little bit deflating for Colorado, because they probably would have been like, you got to be kidding me. We were just getting circles around them, and, you know, they find a way to get the first goal.
Well, and they lost a game like that against Dallas. They absolutely outplayed them. I think they outshot them like 38-19. They doubled them up in shots and ended up losing in a shootout. You know, I wrote that down too, and it was a Connor Bedard steal off of a Nathan MacKinnon pass that sprung.
That's right.
Burakovsky on the breakaway, and you're right. The shots, so with that breakaway stop, that was the third shot on net for the Blackhawks. They'd already given up 14 shots to Colorado. So you're right. If they go up 1-0 there, maybe it's a little different story. So, you know, again, you know, you look back at a game and it's like, yeah, if we could have, we should have. And you can't play hockey like that. You got to start on time. You got to tilt the ice in your favor. And it was Colorado who did all the tilting in period number one. Period number two, even though the shots weren't that great for the Blackhawks, they played a lot more in Colorado's zone. And that was good to see. And in the third period, and I'm going to mention Arvid Soderblom too, because he eventually ended up with 45 saves on 49 shots. It's a .918 save percentage. If you told me a goalie had a .918 save percentage at the end of the game, I'd say probably won it, won the hockey game. But you know, not when you give up 49 shots, almost 50 shots. And in the six games where the Blackhawks have given up 40 or more shots in a game, and they don't do it very often, they don't have six times. Arvid has been between the pipes for five of them. So you got to feel for the backup goaltender. He gets a lot of the tough assignments, the tough starts, and tonight was certainly one of those tougher ones.
And I think a couple of those games, too, he faced whatever it was. You know, obviously, like 50 feels like 50 shots. And you look at the expected goals. And so Colorado's expected goals, I know you and I like these numbers, mm-hmm. 4.32 according to Natural Stat Trick. Colorado scored four. So Arvid Soderblom actually had a positive goal saved above expected in a game like this, mm-hmm. which is rare because, you know, you probably look at the scoreboard and you're like, oof, this probably got ugly. But, he was the reason why this wasn't a 7-1 game.
Oh, absolutely. I can think of three, maybe four saves he made that puck should have been in the net late in the hockey game. And that's the other thing I got to hand it to him for, too, because, you know, you're not going to win. It's 4-1. There's less than 2 minutes to go. And he's still diving across the crease making stops. So that does not get lost on the coaching staff. That doesn't get lost on the players either, because they realize what a tough life he has. He's out there for every practice, taking extra shots. You know, Spencer Knight plays, you know, the majority, the lion's share of the game, so they got to keep him fresh. He's first off the ice. Arvid has to stay out there, so never complains about it. He just does his job and just waits for his next opportunity, and I thought he fared very well for this opportunity. Hadn't played in six games, comes in, and I thought he did a pretty good job.
Colorado Avalanche, they generated 44 scoring chances at 5-on-5. That is the most in a game this season, which feels pretty telling because, well, actually, maybe it's not so telling because it feels like they probably do this to a lot of teams, especially that the heater that they were on at the beginning of the season, and also that is the most scoring chances at 5-on-5 the Blackhawks have given up in a game this year. Their previous high was 41, which was that Anaheim game. Yeah, that
53 shots.
Yeah, on December 7th. So really tough performance. You know, one observation that I did have, with the Colorado Avalanche power play, they came into this game, I think it was tied for 28th in the NHL in power play percentage, which is mind-boggling to me, mm-hmm. that a power play with McKinnon, Natchez, Cale Makar, Arturi Lehkonen, usually he didn't play in this game because he was hurt, but is near the bottom five in the NHL in power play percentage, and they capitalized on a couple of their opportunities. This was the second time in the last four games that the Blackhawks penalty kill has given up more than one power play goal. In the previous, however many games combined prior to the previous four, they had only done that just three times. And so Colorado really showed why they kind of look like the Harlem Globetrotters on the power play. But statistically speaking, they have not been that good on the power play this year.
It's amazing. They're 29th, actually. Yeah. They're 31st. I want to say 31st at home, which is even more mind-boggling.
I think with 21st on the road.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, 29th, 31st at home, 21st on the road. It is mind-boggling. But what I really liked about what they did, they really rotated. They got the diamond, the box, to rotate a little bit. They did a real good job. Even at 5-on-5, I noticed a lot of plays were down low, back to the defense. And their D are really good at not only, you know, controlling hot passes, but going D to D, rotating a little bit, kind of going into a diamond, and you're just changing the angle a little bit. So, yeah, let's give kudos to their power play because it has been much maligned most of the year. And they went through a stretch there where they only had one power play goal in 12 games, which is really hard to imagine. But with that firepower, they got it done tonight. And I think that was a big part of their win was the power play.
And I don't know when they made this change, but Nathan McKinnon was playing the net front on the power play all game long. And he's usually on one of the flanks, right? He could be on the left side, he could be on the right side, but he was their net front guy. And so I thought that was interesting because he actually made a terrific play. The I can't remember it was
Kadri.
It was the Kadri goal with just a beautiful backhand pass, no look. I mean, it's like, oh well, that's a pretty good way to you know, you think about net front presence, you think about like big guy, hard to play against, but you got a guy like that, Nathan McKinnon, who's down there with those hands. he just adds a different element to the threat that he provides down there.
Yeah, he's so good, and all the good players are, you know, taking what you give them. And they closed in on him there. What does he do? Backhand, no look, backhand pass through, I believe it was Vlasic's legs. It was through a couple of sets of legs right to Kadri, and he had a wide open look and the shot. And then the Brock Nelson, the other power play goal, I mean, what a great play by Makar. You know, fakes the shot. Ryan Green's in perfect position to block it. He fakes it and then moves it just a little bit to his right, maybe a foot to his right, puts a hot pass, like literally a shot pass, on Nelson. Nelson's wide open in front and just wedges it by Arvid Soderblom. So two really nice power play goals. Yeah, and I hard to believe they're 29th in the NHL, but I know they're going to get better before the end of the year.
Hawks had a couple power plays in this game. I wasn't crazy about how they did in the two of them. Yesterday in Minnesota, the Blackhawks had three power play opportunities, and it felt like they were creating on every single one.
Mm-hmm.
They had 16 shot attempts, 9 shots on goal, and 8 scoring chances in the three power play opportunities yesterday. In this game for the Blackhawks, they had just they had 5 shot attempts, but 0 of them hit the net. Really unfortunate because the Hawks had that power play opportunity. At that point, it was a 4-1 game. I was going to say the Hawks had a power play to make it potentially with 9:55 left. Artem Levchinov unfortunately commits a double minor penalty, and it just kind of felt like the game was over after that.
Yeah, you know, in the second period, I wrote it down. Brock Nelson was off for hooking, and the Blackhawks had a real tough time making the blue line. The entries, which haven't been an issue over the last, well, since the Olympic break, all of a sudden they became an issue. There was a lot of poke checks to the blue line. They lost the draw on the faceoff with Nelson in the penalty box. They put it down the ice. That kills 15 seconds. Then the next two entries, they get stopped right at the blue line. I looked up, and there was only a minute left on the power play. So, yeah, the entries probably needed a little work. And listen, when you're, you know, a guy like Connor Bedard, who played, I think, 23 minutes last night,
yeah,
you know, and that's maybe part of the problem when you go with 11-7. They had 11 forwards last night. Some of the forwards get some extra ice time. He didn't look like he had any jump in his step, not like he did against Minnesota. And, you know, when you're out there in the power play, you have to have that extra gear. It just seemed like it wasn't there.
The first period was all Colorado, that Jeff Blashill ended up changing up the line combinations in the second period. And the one particularly kind of that jumped out to me was Nick Lardis being put into the top six with Frank Nazar and Tyler Bertuzzi. And I was just looking at the numbers. That was the top line for the Blackhawks in scoring chances created together, mm-hmm, with 5. I would like to see Nick Lardis get more of a consistent opportunity in the top six. They did bump down Teuvo Teravainen onto the third line with Donato and Mikheyev, so maybe you make that the true checking line, similar to what they did when Jason Dickinson was here, and maybe you give that ice time to Nick Lardis, because I did feel like Lardis was creating and helping that line go when he did get put on it, but it's hard to kind of it's hard to generate that sort of momentum and line consistency or chemistry consistency when it happens mid-game and it's kind of maybe just a one-off. You know,
yeah.
I'd like to see him get a little bit of a longer rope there.
A little more breathing room maybe, yeah. The one thing with Nick, and I love the kid and he's got a great shot, I just noticed his pass is just a little off. And he fell down a couple of times. And you know, maybe that's nerves. You know, maybe that's trying to do too much. But, you know, he's just got to relax. Do what got him here and do what he's been doing in Rockford. And that's, you know, an unbelievable shot. He only had one shot tonight. So get yourself in a position where you're going to be open, where you're going to get a look, where you're going to get a shot. And then just make the simple plays. And, you know, I think he's probably putting a little bit of pressure on himself. And listen, you know, when you get on the fourth line, you're getting 4 or 5, 6 minutes a night. It's sometimes hard to shine. And when you get out there, you try to do too much. So it'll come. I think he's going to learn from all these experiences. Sometimes you got to stumble, you got to fail before you take that next step. You got to fall back before you take that big leap forward. And hopefully that's the case for Nick Lardis, because I know what he was doing down in Rockford was very impressive. And I can't wait to see that translate to the NHL.
There have been a few games recently where Lardis kind of like fanned on a one-timer shot. I'm like, geez, he probably has never done that all year long in the minors. And then, you know, he fans on that shot. I wonder if he's maybe putting a little bit of pressure on himself playing on the fourth line, where every shift seems very important, and maybe the coaching staff is kind of recognizing that they want to see more from Nick Lardis. And so maybe he's just squeezing his stick a little bit too tight, knowing that
he's only getting like 8 minutes a game on the fourth line, and maybe he's not playing as free as he would if he was in the top six, getting that consistent minutes where he has that, he feels that belief from the coaching staff.
I think that's spot on, and that's natural for a youngster like Nick Lardis, who's trying to make a name for himself in the NHL, who's trying to make it to the NHL. I mean, just think about it. In junior hockey, he was probably getting out there every third shift for sure, maybe every second shift, and it didn't matter if you had a bad shift. You were going to be back out there. But when you're on the fourth line, you're judged a little differently, and they want to make sure you're not playing a lot in your own zone and you're getting pucks out, because a lot of times you'll get a defensive start, and they want you to get the puck out. They want you to get the puck deep. Maybe, you know, try to hem the other team in their own zone and then get off the ice. So he's putting that pressure on himself, which is okay. I mean, you know what? That's how you learn. But I think he is maybe starting to squeeze the stick a little bit. I saw him fall down a couple of times. He's normally very solid on his skates. So that's all going to come with a little more confidence. And, you know, one big game where he gets a couple of goals and an assist, that'll just do wonders for his confidence.
All right, so the Blackhawks are going to have the day off tomorrow, and then they'll be back in action an afternoon game on Sunday. So I think it's a much-needed don't-come-to-the-rink day tomorrow, but then there's also no morning skate on Sunday, so hopefully the Hawks come out fresh on Sunday after kind of a grinding week, especially with the travel, being in Chicago on Tuesday, then going to Minnesota, then having to come back to Chicago and have a second of a back-to-back. Hopefully the Hawks come out with some fresher legs on Sunday.
Yeah, I've seen them do that before, where they've skipped the morning skate. They've skipped a practice the day before, maybe no morning skate, and they come out and it's all business, because they realize that, you know, the coach could have had a practice tomorrow, and especially after a game like this, worked on a few things. But it's important, you know, that they say that rest is a weapon, and I think especially this year with the compressed schedule and, you know, the Olympic break and 82 games. I want to say the Blackhawks, they were scheduled for 20, after the Olympic break, I think it was 24 games in 48 days, which is really unheard of, but all teams are going through it. So they need the rest, and I think they can repay the coaching staff by coming out with a good effort. Don't have to necessarily win the game, but you want to come out, make sure you're learning from your mistakes, and have a good effort. And I'll go back to something that I said with John towards the end of the game. I mean, quit passing the puck. At some point, you got to bring it to the hoop. You got to take it to the net. You can't pass it into the net. You've got to take some shots, and shots create chaos, and chaos creates rebounds and second and third opportunities and deflections off of players, and sometimes the other team puts it in their own net. I mean, a deflection off of a defenseman. So I think if they're going to learn anything from this hockey game, it's, you know, start on time. And, guys, let's not try to pass the puck in the net. Let's start taking some big shots.
All the fans listening to this right now are screaming amen at their radio stations right now, because in the third period, the 300 level was getting restless with the shoot the puck. And for once, I kind of agreed with them.
Yeah.
I agreed with them.
Yeah, yeah. Artie Levchinov. Connor Bedard did it in the third. I saw Artie Levchinov do it in the third. But maybe with Artie, he's deferring to guys who have been in the NHL for, you know, a little longer than him. But, yeah, shoot the puck. Good things happen when you shoot the puck, Charlie.
When you shoot the puck. Yeah. And you know what? Hey, much needed rest day for us tomorrow as well. It's supposed to be 72 degrees outside, I think. So hopefully you're able to get outside and enjoy some fresh air, and then we'll be back at it on Sunday.
We have a dog that loves to go outside, especially when it's not 20 below. So we will be out along Lake Michigan and enjoying the beautiful skyline of Chicago.
All right. I love it. We'll be back here 2 days from now, so enjoy the day tomorrow, and I'll see you on Sunday.
You too, Charlie. Great job as always.
Thank you so much. All right, that was Steve Conrad. We got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. Looks like Wyatt Kaiser and Ryan Green spoke to the media, so we'll hear what they had to say when the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Renzel, quick pass to Green over the ad line to Kaiser in front. Shoot to score! Wyatt Kaiser breaks the Hawks through. With 13:12 left in period number two, the Hawks are on the board, trailing the Avs 2-1. Good old-fashioned hard work got that one.
Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. That was the lone goal of the game for the Blackhawks, who fell to the Colorado Avalanche 4-1. The Colorado Avalanche, by the way,
have hit the century mark on the season with 100 points, and they now have a plus 81 goal differential this season. The next best team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, at plus 57. That's 24 differential difference between one and two. They are just an absolute powerhouse and showed exactly why earlier tonight here at the United Center. So Wyatt Kaiser, he scored. That was his sixth goal of the season, and that's now the new leader for among Blackhawks defensemen this season. He was in a two-way tie with Louis Crevier at five. Let's hear what Wyatt Kaiser had to say after this game.
Yeah, they're good. But I mean, that's the goal for us, right? To get to that point where we can compete with them, right? And I think we can, but just finding every night, right?
How do you move forward with the penalty kill now that younger guys are starting to take on?
I think it's just something that just you continue to gain experience with. So I think there's going to be some stumbles, some falls, but we have to learn from those and to continue to move forward and get better out of it. So that's kind of my take on it. Just you have to continue to get put in those opportunities where you only see some plays in the NHL like that, where guys are doing those things.
And your goal, that was an aggressive dive. Do you know that Green was going to be able to find you there?
I don't know if he's going to find me. I just knew they were changing, and we were kind of changing, so I just tried to jump in the middle to at least give Greener some option. And what I landed on my stick, so what a pass.
Second half of back-to-backs were a problem earlier this year, and I feel like recently it's actually been pretty good. Do you think that was a factor at all tonight, or any thoughts on how you guys have adjusted to that situation this year?
I mean, there's always different things leading into games, right? But it can never be an excuse where it's the NHL. There's, I mean, you travel, whatever. Like, everybody's dealing with something. So maybe, but we still have to find a way.
Are you feeling more just kind of up to speed since you've been back from your injury?
Yeah, I would say I'm getting there, yeah. You guys probably kept it so brief, but getting there.
Well, Basha was just very complimentary of you the other night, that he thought you played really well, and it just seems like, you know, you're just being more consistent and getting.
Yeah, I mean, Blash has been talking about it all year, right? Finding that balance of when to punt a puck, when to make a play. So just really trying to evaluate every game and trying to find that medium where, yeah, making plays that we have to make to win games, but also, like Minnesota, I'd say we gave up, I think, three chances, but there was a lot of punts. It wasn't a pregame. So just kind of finding that balance.
As to playing a game like that can be, I think you mentioned it earlier, but does that add to that want to kind of become that team, to match that team in the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal 100%. I think we got the guys in the room to do it, so just finding the way.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Wyatt Kaiser. The Colorado Avalanche are the gold standard right now in the level that a lot of teams are trying to strive to get to. And so we'll see. Hopefully the Blackhawks can get to that level when they hit their peak as an entire group. The guy who assisted on Wyatt Kaiser's goal was Ryan Green, and it was a thing of beauty, kind of just threading the needle to Wyatt Kaiser, who was just found himself slipped behind both of the defensemen. He scored and found the back of the net. Let's hear what Ryan Green had to say after this loss.
Up in Minnesota last night, is that just a tough team to come out against the next night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a tough team in the league and a tough team to contain, but I don't think that's an excuse. I think, you know, definitely need to be better, and there's areas we can clean up for sure.
And games like that are always measuring stick games. Does it kind of like remind you of just, you know, how early in the process you guys are and how much more there is to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's a team that, you know, their level is a level that we obviously want to get to, and, you know, they're going to be a contending team this year. So, yeah, it's definitely a measuring stick, I would say.
The first periods at home recently haven't been great. Is that something you guys have talked about?
Yeah, I mean, we want to start every game on time. You know, maybe they haven't been the best as of lately, and yeah, it's something we definitely want to clean up. We want to start good, and you know, I think that when you start good, it helps throughout the whole game.
That was a heck of a pass to Kaiser. Did you know he was going to dive down like that, or did he surprise you?
He surprised me a little bit. Like, I just kind of saw he had a step on the guy and just tried to feather it in there to him, so happy he could, you know, put it in.
As you played with Connor this year, have you seen him kind of learning how to create more space to get his shots off or passes off? That's something that
Jeff had talked about kind of last summer going into this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of his biggest strengths, honestly, is just his ability to, you know, open things up and create space for, you know, himself and me and Berkey as well. So just for me and Barry, you know, just trying to play off him as best as we can and just get, you know, get open for him.
What do you think of the penalty kill as younger guys are starting to kind of take over with some of the veterans being moved up?
Yeah, I mean, some new guys on there for sure, but you know, our structure hasn't changed. You know, we're still trying to, you know, accomplish the same thing and you know, within the same structure. So obviously giving up two tonight wasn't good enough, so it's on us to execute better.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Green. Again, kind of doubling down on what Wyatt Kaiser was saying about how Colorado is the team that they are striving to be. And so good measuring stick game for the Blackhawks and kind of a good reminder at how far they have to go to get to being on a level of the Colorado Avalanche. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill's postgame presser. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks fall to the Colorado Avalanche 4-1. Colorado, by the way, becomes the first team in the NHL this season to clinch a playoff spot and also the first one to hit the 100-point mark. The Avalanche, by the way, improved to 36-0-0 this season when leading after two periods. They are only one of three teams in the NHL that have a perfect win percentage when leading through two. Colorado is obviously the first one, 37-0, and then the other two teams, New Jersey and Anaheim, are 21-0 through two periods when they're leading. Time now for tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Wyatt Kaiser barely led the way for the Blackhawks in the Ice Time department at 21:38. Artem Lefshinov was right behind him at 21 minutes and 23 seconds. They were the only two players that finished north of 20 minutes of ice time. On the flip side, Cale Makar led the way for the Colorado Avalanche at 23 minutes and 54 seconds, which seems more on the low end for him. Usually you're used to seeing him at 26, 27 minutes a night, but he logged just under 24 minutes. And then also just want to make a note, Nick Lardis finished with 12 minutes and 46 seconds of ice time. I think he was around 10 minutes, maybe just over 10 minutes through two periods of play, and then it was hard for him to see the ice in the third period because the Hawks were on the kill for the Hawks had three kills in that third period, so he didn't see much ice time in that final frame. All right, let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say about his team's performance in this loss against Colorado.
It's a tough team to face in any night, let alone third game in 4 days. Just feel like it was not there tonight.
Yeah, we didn't have it tonight, and they did. I thought they came out and played really, really well. They snapped the puck around well. They were skating. We weren't skating. We were kind of, you know, we just had too many times we were just kind of standing still with and without the puck, and so then you're in a grind. And I thought we did a decent job, honestly, of, like, defending when we were in those spots, especially in our D zone, not necessarily the rush. But we just spent way too much time doing that. We just didn't have our skating legs, and I think it's just another learning process of how to kind of grind through that. You know, that's just part of the league, and so we just got to continue to grow in those areas.
It seemed like you were looking to counterpunch, maybe keep a guy high and look for transition. Was that because you weren't moving your feet, or was that strategy?
Yeah, not strategy. I'm not a big believer in hoping, and I think in that scenario, you're hoping they don't score so you can get a counterpunch. We did get some counterpunch opportunities because of that, but we don't want to live that way. We want to limit the other team's chances and create our own chances. And so that was just more because, honestly, I think because we weren't skating enough.
Well, you switched up the second line at the first intermission. How do you think Artis did up there?
He was kind of like the rest of our team, probably just not skating enough and not you know, creating enough. But it was our whole team, so I certainly can't pin that on him. It was just he as a group, I just didn't think we were really winning enough puck battles because we weren't skating to the battle enough, and because of that, we couldn't create much.
Did you have a specific thought process, though, with changing things up a little bit?
I just didn't think we had it. I wanted to see how that line would go, and in the end, it wasn't, didn't make it markedly better or worse. It was just kind of the same, and didn't give us maybe some of the spark I'd hoped. Sometimes you make a change, and you're hoping for a little bit of spark, and it didn't really give us that. But that's all right. That's the way it goes. I thought for the most part, that Bedard's line was the one that was creating some. We just need to make sure, as a group, that we're just skating way better, which we have, for most of the part here. We just didn't have it tonight.
Hill hasn't been as strong since the trades, which is probably to be expected. How have you assessed it? How would you assess how the young players have kind of transitioned into bigger roles in that situation?
Need reps. You need reps. Like, penalty kill is one of those things where there's just so many different nuances that happen. And, we certainly have our structure, but you have to, I don't know any way to learn it without going through it. And so they're getting those reps. We've been scored on more than we should. It's a little unfortunate too, because we've had a number of kills, not necessarily tonight, but a number of kills where we killed the majority of the kill off and then got scored late, so that adds into those numbers a little bit. But the guys are getting getting reps, and that's how you get better. And we've obviously committed to having some guys learn through trial, and so I think they're making progress, but we got to find a way to make sure we keep it out of our net. We got to do a better job of it.
What do you think of Del Mastro tonight?
I thought he played hard. He's I think we probably spent too much time defending, so then you're kind of in your end. But I think he's a good, solid. He did a good job at defending, and he's got some physicality to him. He's got a little bit of swagger to him. Those things are all positives.
Do you have any idea at this point when Bovaire will be available?
I don't anticipate Sunday. I'm hoping, I guess, fingers crossed for Tuesday could be available, but I honestly have no idea. It's a government thing, if you want to go there.
How about
don't.
Do it.
Excuse me?
Is there any update on Moore or no?
I'll have one more. Morsey, no update. Don't anticipate him anytime soon.
You're expecting Crevier and Mangiapane to be on the trip?
I would say Crevier, I think, will start on the trip. Mangiapane may end up joining us on the trip, is how I would kind of list that. Yep.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill providing some injury updates there at the end. No new update on Oliver Moore, who's been out the last week and a half or so with that lower body injury. I would imagine we're not going to see him for the rest of the season. And then Louis Crevier and Andrew Mangiapane did not play in this game tonight, hence the call-up of Dominic Toninato from earlier today. He slid into a fourth-line role for the Blackhawks, and then they both got injured yesterday. I honestly don't even remember either one getting kind of banged up, and so I'm not exactly sure what happened. So it sounds like both of them are going to be out on Sunday, and then we'll see what their statuses are. And then Hawks are obviously still waiting on the Sacha Boisvert immigration papers to go through and get processed by the government. Because we're going into a weekend, I don't anticipate that getting processed over the next couple of days, and so we'll see. Hopefully he can join them for the road trip. And this is kind of normal. I know Bobby McCann got traded from Toronto to Seattle, and he missed a full week of action before he finally made his Kraken debut because he was also waiting on his visa to get approved. So just kind of standard protocol, but hopefully it's not going to be too much longer for Boisvert to make his NHL debut. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Hawks lose to the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 to wrap up the season series. Let's dive right into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Blackhawks prospect Roman Kantsarov, the regular season in the KHL, officially came to an end, and he finished as the league's leading goal scorer with 36 goals in 63 games. He also added 28 assists for 64 points, so he finished above a point-per-game player. He's the first under-23 player to lead the KHL in goals since Kirill Kaprizov did it, who we just saw. We didn't see him yesterday. We saw him on Tuesday here at the United Center. So some great company. Roman Kantsarov's regular season comes to an end. Now all eyes are on how far and deep his team goes in the KHL playoffs. Time for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time.
Hawks are going to be back in action here at the United Center on Sunday. An afternoon start, 1:30 pregame show, 2 o'clock puck drop against the Nashville Predators, who are fighting for a playoff spot. They are 1 point out of the final wildcard spot in the Western Conference. And boy, no team in that little range is really running away with it. L.A., Seattle, Nashville, San Jose, maybe even Winnipeg you can lump in there, are all jockeying for that final wildcard spot. So while Nashville does have a minus 27 goal differential this season, they are still right into it. So expect a very hungry Predators team on Sunday here at the UC. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Eli Burke and Sammy Martino. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, and our captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-1 loss to Colorado. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Sunday from the UC.